What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for October 5th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Funhouse's Alana Pierce.
Yes, hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I don't think anyone's introduced me that way yet.
Well, I'm happy to do that, you know what I mean? And just, I guess, do it and start
really
it that way.
Yeah,
you like it?
Yeah.
How's it working out? I haven't talked to you since you went there.
Yeah, I've been there for like 2 months now, but I did take a 2-week vacation to Japan,
which is
inconveniently timed.
Yeah, I saw that.
But it's great. It rolls. It's like they're all today getting drunk and playing Super Mario Party.
That's a good
Which is a thing that doesn't fly at IGN.
No,
so
well,
can
I mean,
just do that now.
Yeah, I guess we got drunk once or twice at IGN, right?
I did a couple of times. I did a full Let's Play that I don't remember most of.
Sure.
But most people wouldn't know that I was drunk.
Oh.
They're like, as long as it doesn't look like beer, then it's fine. So.
I remember in the old days, there was once a Podcast Beyond where we had listeners send in booze and we drank it and got wasted.
Mm.
And then Clements did I forget what nerdy game he was playing, but every time he died, he needed to take a shot. And it ended, of course, with him puking in the bathroom.
Nice.
And it was like, those are the old, that was the Wild West of IGN.
I don't think they would let me do that.
Nowadays? Oh my god, no way. You kidding me? That wouldn't be, I want to fly
one. Sometimes it'd be really funny jokes in Let's Plays, but they'd be like, it's slightly inappropriate.
Yeah,
you have to edit it out. And I'd be like, damn it, that was so good.
And now Funhouse is like, do more.
They're like, more.
How much more crass can you be?
I had this folder of jokes that I had to cut that were really, really good in Let's Plays, just because it was like, this is a bunch of hilarious stuff. Some of these things people could get in trouble for if I posted them publicly, but it's like, just so much good stuff in
there. Sure, all the stuff you have to leave out.
Yeah.
Thank God that's all behind you.
Yeah.
And then how's LA treating you?
I actually like it a lot. I didn't think that I would, but I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather's beautiful all
obviously.
The time, which rules, especially as an Australian. It's very nice.
Sure.
But I don't know. I think the biggest difference is that everyone that I'm friends with in San Francisco is kind of poor.
Oh, sure.
Because it's so expensive
here. Course,
Whereas everyone in LA is like, let's do things. Let's go get dinner. Let's do activities because they have money.
Oh, that's an interesting change of pace. Yeah.
Because they can afford rent.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. People are a lot more positive.
It's a brand new world down there.
It is.
All right. Well, thanks for coming up here.
No, you're quite welcome.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday in a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, head over to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where you can give us your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch us record the show live. If you're not there live, no big deal. Head over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. If you are watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later.
It's almost like you say that every day.
I say it so much every day that they now know that I screwed it up. Because you watch it live, then I immediately go into the you're wrong bit, but I screwed it up today and went because we're trying to move fast today. We're moving a lot of fast.
Yeah,
why are we moving fast? Housekeeping? Because Alana and I are playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey at GameSpot today, 2:30 p.m. Pacific time, over on youtube.com/GameSpot. Come watch live or catch the archive later. We have a whole bunch of questions about Assassin's Creed. You've been playing?
I have.
I've been playing.
I've played every game in the series. Have a mixed relationship with Assassin's Creed.
Oh, man. Wait till we get to reader mail then, because we'll get there eventually.
Be good.
One piece of housekeeping, too. I want to talk about bulk ad bullshit. A couple of days ago, somebody hit us up about, hey, man, there's way too many ads in Kinda Funny Games Daily on YouTube. And it was true. There was a million ads that got inserted because of that automatic thing they do when they're... You click the monetize button, and usually, hey, here's a pre-roll. Great. Sometimes an ad break in the middle.
That's never happened to me.
Really?
No.
Sometimes it goes crazy and puts, like... Because our content's long, it'll go crazy and put, like... seven ads in the middle of
like
the thing.
Like in an hour-long video?
Yeah, it's terrible. And so it happened with yesterday's Game
Daily.
Does that
mean that you make a ton more money
on
it, though?
No, you know how you make no money on
true.
YouTube.
It's still like an extra dollar,
it
maybe.
It happened with yesterday's, and I only caught it because I jumped in and I was looking to see what Jared had done, and I jumped ahead and I got another ad, and then I found it. If you ever see that, tweet at Game Over Greggy and at Kinda Funny Kevin so we can get in there and take that out immediately.
Now, question for you, Greg.
I'm sorry. Question from the pit over there, Kevin Coella from KindaFunny.com.
Do you know how to remove that? Okay, we'll have to talk afterwards.
I know how to remove it once it happens. There's no way to like say don't do that, period.
You guys having a meeting right now?
Yeah.
Should I leave? All right, well.
Next one for you. Game Awards put out a tweet today asking who should present at the Game Awards. A whole bunch of people got involved and started naming names. One, Jared Petty, hit me up and put it on our Reddit that he would really, really, really like to do that because celebrating people like through Pockets Full of Soup.
I would also love to do that. I wonder if I can ask, because they usually do duos, if Jared and I could do it together. That'd be cool.
Let's start it right now, everybody.
We could do that.
Go to
I'd love to.
At the Game Awards on Twitter and respond with Alana Pierce and Jared Petty.
Only if it's the two of us. No, I'll still let Jared do it by himself. I will only do it if Jared does it.
I will love it if right now we're like, do it for Jared, and you hijack it, and you get to do it, and Jared doesn't. Exactly, and Jared would never talk to you again.
I'll dress up as Jared. No, that's not true. He'd forgive anything. Have you met that man?
I work with him quite a bit. Yeah. And then today we're brought to you by Third Love and Loot Crate, but we'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! We have four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Thank you, Kevin. Wow. Number one is one of those weird... Usually we come here and talk about video games, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys just talk about, do we like this thing? Do we not like it? Here's one of those huge, horrible fucking stories that's intruding into our video game world.
Yep.
Soccer star Ronaldo has been removed from FIFA imagery. I'm going to bring together a whole bunch of different sources here to give you the picture, because if you're not a sports fan, maybe you're not following this. ESPN gives you the nut of the story. Police in Las Vegas have reopened a criminal investigation at the request of a woman who has alleged in a civil suit that global football star Global football star Cristiano Ronaldo sexually assaulted her in 2009. Ronaldo, the Juventus, thank you, Andy, for the pronunciation guide, forward, who is among the world's most famous athletes, dismissed the claims over the weekend as fake news. Stovall, the attorney for the woman in question, responded Monday by asserting the sincerity of the cases. So that's that. This has been going for a while. This whole, they settled out of court in 2009. Now they want to say the NDA shouldn't count. She wants to talk. She's been inspired by the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. That's happening over there.
I feel bad for laughing, but I like chuckle because his response to something that serious is to say fake news.
Welcome to 2018. He did put out a further statement on Twitter and all this jazz. And, okay. And again, I'm taking a giant ESPN story and boiling it down to, hey, if you have no idea what we're talking about, here's that jumping point. Then the BBC had this EA Sports quote from the AP, quote, "We have seen the concerning report that details allegations against
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Thank you very much. I'm so bad at names. We are closely monitoring the situation as we expect cover athletes and ambassadors to conduct themselves in a manner that is consistent with EA's values." Then, Reset Era points out that Ronaldo has been removed from the official FIFA image on EASports.com, and there was some scuttlebutt there that I didn't have time to check that basically one of the FIFA trailers has removed him too. That's up there for like one of the... like modes, not the overall thing, but like I forget what kind of mode it was, but I didn't go through and check that, so I can't 100%.
I wonder
confirm.
If it was a cinematic that was him, or was it just his face?
I'm not sure.
It's really just a cut, but that's still a significant effort to edit out something that's already been published, especially in marketing
mode. Right, 100%. So, just a heads up, that's happening with the biggest soccer star, I think, actively playing right now, football star actively playing right now, right?
Yeah.
It's a weird one. I appreciate that EA has a statement immediately, and they have to wait for how this is all going to play out, obviously, as this continues to go on. But to remove him, like, we're figuring it out. We're going to see what happens. But
it's a hard one to talk about because it's like, yep.
That's happening. That's how it is. Yeah, exactly. No. And I feel like that continues to happen in games lately.
Yeah, but I mean, this one at least, like, it isn't anything to do with the video game industry that caused the issue, and it's really just EA's response that we could be critical of if there was something to be critical of, and I feel like they're handling it pretty well because it's like, we don't know what's happening, let's just get rid of it until the controversy's over, and I understand that too,
and that's, I think, the best way they can possibly handle it, because saying nothing and leaving it up, what the fuck are you doing? Deny comments, and then the other one of like going the complete opposite way of ripping them down, we're cutting our ties, yada, 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 well... we don't know exactly what's happening in this very complicated situation.
It's messy.
Yeah,
I feel sorry for the marketing team.
Yeah, feel sorry for a lot of people involved. That's number one. Number two, feeling sorry for people. We have a Telltale Games clarification. This is from Brendan Sinclair over on GamesIndustry.biz. Yesterday, Telltale narrative designer Rachel Noel tweeted about Telltale and the Skeleton Crew layoffs. This broke during Kinda Funny Games Daily. Jared and Steve brought it up. Her tweet made it sound like the entire Skeleton Crew of 25 people had been eliminated. She followed up with two tweets, and Brendan over at GamesIndustry.biz put them together. Quote, "I think there was some misunderstanding about my earlier message," she wrote. "There are still good people at the company. My team is done." When asked if the remaining staff were what the remaining staff were working on, Noelle said she was unsure. But she was also asked how many Telltale employees are left, but only responded, "Not many." So it seems there are still a skeleton crew working over there. They are slowly being wound down.
I wonder who is left is the thing.
Yeah.
It's like Megan Farrakhmanish on The Verve, is it Verve? Verve. Yeah, Verve's a different streaming service. Just published something yesterday, I believe, that was just a series of anonymous interviews with a bunch of Telltale people who were laid off. And, man, it paints such a brutal picture that it sounds like they just pulled everyone into a room. The CEO sat down and literally said, I need to sit down for this one, and just basically laid off almost everyone, and they had half an hour to get out of the building.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how the people who were still there would have felt after that anyway.
Yeah.
It just being one of the last remaining survivors almost seems just as hard. Like, 100%. It would be so awful for those people. And then
to come into this ghost town where all your friends were and now they're not.
Yeah, and then to have another team laid off again. So how many people are left, and how are those people feeling? Like, it's just awful for everyone in this situation. I'm wondering if she was narrative designer, does that mean that she was still working on The Walking Dead up until leaving?
Well, I mean, that, well, you figure out the Skeleton Crew was supposed to do the Minecraft game for Netflix. So did they just finish the narrative bullet points or the story for what they were going
to
do?
How
do
you even do that with 25 people to begin with? Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah, it seems like every headline related to this Telltale thing just gets more and more like, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about it? I know you're a huge fan of The Walking Dead.
Sure, I mean,
do you want them to finish it?
Oh, I mean, that line of it, I fall very much into the camp of, I don't care. I mean, I would have loved to see Clement's story end. I don't care at all about this. Is there a way to take care of these 250 people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is there a way to make that right for them? I wish there was, and I'm not a huge fan of the whole, like, oh, you know, Telltale's looking at getting another publisher involved to finish this. But then it is also the thing of, I feel that way, but then, well, if they hire back some of the devs to do it, and like, blah, 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 but then there's going to be...
Why would any of those people go back, though, you know?
I agree 100%. I would think you'd want to, if you want to go back, because I see the devs, I follow so many of them on Twitter, debating this and going, you know, talking about the pros and cons of it. I feel like going back wouldn't be a go back to, yeah, we're still Telltale and proud. It'd be like, fuck you guys, but we're finishing our story. We're finishing our work. And it also would be, hey, we get money.
Right.
Because this would be a guaranteed from Publisher X who's like, hey, this sucks. We'll finish the two episodes. You at least have this amount of work in front of you this many weeks to take
which
care
is
of it.
A few months, I guess, to make an episode. But that was another thing in Megan's story, which I totally recommend you read. It's really thorough.
Required reading, everybody.
Required reading. That she said that a lot of the devs who spoke to her anonymously were saying things like that it felt wrong to them that someone else would finish their work.
Yeah.
That they would take the series that they had all put so much time into because we know they had crunch, and then someone else would just finish it.
And like, that's where it gets weird of like, if there's a way to come in and, get the narrative team together, the other team together, give them back their tools, let's finish this. You know what I mean? Great. If it was just, I'm Publisher X, and we're going to finish these two episodes. You know, and we have a rough idea of where they wanted to take it. That sucks. Nobody wants to see that.
I'd be cool with it being in a comic.
Sure.
And I know a lot of people have spoken about different avenues, but if it was a comic, because I imagine they had storyboards to some extent anyway, then...
What I really like, somebody hit us up on Twitter, and we announced this stupid, we were doing a press conference.
Yes, so congrats.
Thank you. It's been kind of crazy. Somebody hit me up on Twitter with a really great idea, and Gary was involved, and I think he chimed in like, that's a great idea. It'd be awesome if, and I have no idea how the legal ramifications of this would work, not to mention I don't think we could because it seems like they're trying to sell these final two episodes, but if that all fell through, someone had pitched on Twitter getting the cast together, doing a live read as an event, and raising money for all the developers.
That would be awesome.
And I would totally be on board to make that happen, but I assume I have to wait for Telltale to be like, all right, no publisher wants to work with us, we're going to do it.
How would you... That would cost a lot of money, though, too. I am assuming that the cast would all be okay with it, which I feel like they would.
No, the cast would do it for pro bono.
But
for
then
sure.
Would you have to pay Telltale to be able to use their script?
My biggest thing with that, and I'm totally 100% down to do it, and I'm not saying tweet at people and be mean, but if we were to do that and Telltale was to be like, well, you got to pay, it'd be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Really? Like, we're trying to help out these developers and try to figure out how to do it. And I'm sure you guys have, too, but I've kicked around so much of this, like, what could we do? You know what I mean? Of like, if we did a... GoFundMe, right? And it was like, we went through and 250 people at the median salary would be this, and that's what a month, if we could just give them a month of salary,
a
right?
A few people, like a couple of the devs posted it. I think it's coffee.
Yeah, that coffee, buy
I've
me
been,
a coffee.
I've been like donating to people, but it's just like, you're right, it does feel really hopeless.
There's got to be a better way, and it's just, and I
don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the guy to crack it or anything, but I'm always down
to
help.
How do you split those salaries? Like, I don't, it's
and it's
mess.
Also the thing of like, how am I don't know. How do we figure out who the 250 people were? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's very complicated.
The thing that I keep wondering is if you know how there's a civil lawsuit against Telltale right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they violated these California laws.
But how do they pay that back?
Exactly.
Like, obviously they have assets that they could sell. I imagine they own the building, which is probably worth a fair amount of money.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, I don't know if they do. Did you ever go?
No, I never went.
They were on floors.
Oh,
they were in another complex. It wasn't like they were a standalone building.
I only ever went to preview events at, they had it at the Delancey Theater in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was incredibly cool. One very cool thing Telltale did to just make this slightly lighter was they let people play the first episode of Batman in a theater by themselves.
Yeah.
It was like one of the coolest things ever, but now I'm like, how much did that cost?
I got to do that for the final season two of The Walking Dead final episode.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it was
but
really
again,
nice.
How much did that cost?
A lot, yeah.
Why
yeah,
were
yeah.
you spending money on that?
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
We know that you shouldn't have been.
Yeah, but I mean, that... I hear you and I agree with you, but it was such a thing of poor management from the top, right?
Absolutely.
Where you tell your marketing team, here's your budget, go ahead. And like, I'm not faulting the marketing team for doing it. It's just like, how the fuck were you not socking money away?
It's yeah,
like,
all
right, cool. Let's make sure we have, that's how, you know, we do it here where it's like at the end of the year, cool. Like whatever money we have left over, right? A huge portion of it stays in the fucking company to make sure that if everything goes wrong in January,
that
we can
okay.
still pay people for a while and not have it all go to hell.
Yeah. It's brutal. And I just wonder like whoever is left, I feel like I would quit.
Oh, sure.
But of course they like need
but it's also,
an income.
Exactly.
And
I think everybody wishes they had that, right?
Yeah.
That they could just be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But it is the reality of seeing all their friends now who are like, I don't have healthcare. My kids don't have healthcare. My husband doesn't have
healthcare.
Some
of them are on visas, which means that you have to leave within 30 days. And it's like, well, if they don't have income, how do they pay for a flight? That's always the thing that I've thought about being on a visa is like,
feel
what
free.
If I'm unemployed? Like, what
feel
do I do?
Feel free to deport me. I love the free flight.
Is that how it works? Like, but what do you do with all your stuff and your lease? Like, I don't know what happens if you just, your visa expires and you're out. Like,
sure.
Oh, I wish I could do something.
We'll figure it out one day. I'm still down. You're down. We can make the
we'll
reading
something
happen. Let's get incredibly light now. Number three. PlayStation's revealed Red Dead Redemption 2's early access PlayStation 4 content over on the PlayStation blog. As a reminder, PlayStation's getting 30 days of early access content.
Can I just say how nice this paper is?
Thank you.
You guys have really nice paper.
Yeah, we have it's a terrible like, printer, it's, but really
but
good
it's
paper.
Like, it's like soft and it's thick.
Yeah. I haven't announced it yet. If you want to feel our paper, the fan mail tier for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames this month is finally getting our notes signed.
I was
going
to talk to you about that.
Yeah, you were
cool.
In Maui. We were in Maui.
That's super cool.
I've been socking them away for a couple months.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so you can get actual notes here and see it all the typos
your
yourself.
Superman
all my Superman drawings. Anyways, the exclusive content you're getting goes like this. You get a Grizzlies Outlaw outfit. This is available day one in Red Dead Redemption 2 story mode and at the launch of Red Dead Online. And the rest of these are only available, it appears, at the launch of Red Dead Online. It includes a red chestnut, Arabian horse, an alligator skin ranch cutter saddle, and a high roller double action revolver. Cool, whatever.
Look, there is so much Red Dead Redemption 2 pre-order content at this point, and so much of it is digital that I am not following anymore.
Yeah, no, totally.
The one thing that I keep wondering, which the, 2 days ago, the gameplay trailer that they posted, and it's like, welcome gameplay, to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
I really like doing that. The one thing that I haven't figured out from all of this pre-order stuff yet is if they give you stat boosts. Like maybe that alligator skin ranch cutter saddle will give you like more speed or
something. I gotcha.
Like I'm not sure about that
yet. Kevin, can you bring it up? Go to the PlayStation blog and toss it back up because I cut out the descriptions of these. I think it's more like, I think they might have said something about the Arabian horse being fast. I forget.
I feel like there was a weapon that gave you, what is it, Deadeye for longer?
Probably.
Something. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's just one of those things.
There's too much.
Yeah. Right there at the top, that red thumbnail. Thanks, Big Kev Dog. Ow, 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 ow. There he goes. All right, so scroll on a little bit. And then, there you go. Here we go. So,
a slick but rugged look, the Grizzly's Outlaw outfit is perfect for exploring the forests of Umberino. Doesn't say anything to do with...
No, Red Chestnut. Known for its speed and handling, the Red Chestnut Arabian horse is a class above most horses you find in the wild, with performance a step up from the first ever.
So
first
that
tier
does
of available
mean
horses.
That, Ben.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. It says a number of benefits when equipped, including core health and stamina boosts.
This is the saddle.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which means that all the pre-order stuff can, in theory, make you a better
player. That's all.
How's
online
that gonna
stuff.
Work
that's
in
all
online?
Online stuff. Yeah.
I imagine you can grind.
Yeah, there
and
you
get
go. The high roller double action revolver. Its superior quick rate of fire over all the other revolvers makes it a great choice for mounted combat.
How's that gonna work online? Not that it's like they're trying to be a hardcore competitive.
Yeah.
They're not trying to be an e-sport or anything, but it's still like, what is that gonna mean for
I
me?
I still feel. I mean, I hear you, and you worry about pay to win and all that jazz, but I feel like. It's like when I, the codes that came for Odyssey were like the ultimate edition or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh shit, this thing unlocks. And I went and got it. It's like, oh, you're like plus 20 over like the level one stuff. So it's like, this was outdated incredibly quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
I assume
it probably
like
is similar.
Yeah. You don't, Rockstar knows what they're doing online these days.
I absolutely believe that.
So I think
that
they're probably fine, even though they are going to find a way for you to buy everything with your shark cards or whatever the hell they're going to call it.
Yeah, make another $500 million annually or whatever it is.
Just, yeah, exactly.
So much money. Very excited about that game, though.
Hey, real quick.
Yes.
You got here late, and that's not a big deal. Yeah. But, like, I'm going to do a bad transition at the end of this story, okay. And you have to read all that. Just read all that, right?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Number four. Monster Hunter movie has details. This is from James Batchelor over at gamesindustry.biz. Monster Hunter is officially getting its live-action movie adaptation, Capcom has confirmed. The Japanese publisher announced that the movie has been slated for production and offered the first details on its plot and who is involved. The announcement confirmed that Paul W.S. Anderson, best known to gamers for his Resident Evil film series, will serve as both writer and director. Anderson first revealed he had penned a script for a Monster Hunter film back in 2016 and was showing to studios in order to help make it a reality. The chosen studio is Constantin Film, a German movie production firm that has previously released titles such as Asphalt Gorillas and Sauerkraut Coma. Okay.
Everyone's
meanwhile,
favorites.
Oh my God, movies of the year. Meanwhile, Japanese company Toho will distribute the film in Japan. There currently appears to be no time frame for when the movie will be shot and released. Did we need this movie, Alana Pierce?
No.
No, of course not.
Nope.
No. Do you think it has a shot at being good?
I think it has a shot at being very funny.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll watch it in the hopes that it's bad.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Resident Evil, we were talking about this the other day, me and Golden Boy, when we were doing the UFC thing for IGN, and we were out having pizza and talking about video game movies, mm-hmm. and like how nobody just gets it right, right? And just like...
I actually didn't see Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Tomb Raider, and he was saying, he's like, when was the last time? And I was like, I saw Tomb Raider. I watched it, I was like, oh, this is a fine action film. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like it's a video game movie. But it also wasn't like, man, everybody go watch Tomb Raider. But I was like,
hey. The original Tomb Raider movies were also fine, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
For the time period, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like they're very much like the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans. We're like, oh, that was great because we had nothing to compare them to. You know what I mean?
First Spider-Man movie.
And even that first Resident Evil movie, while not really that
also
close to Resident
fine.
Evil. Yeah. I remember enjoying it and being like, all right, cool. This
the
is
thing with Monster Hunter is from, I believe it was leaks, we heard that the plot is going to be something about the monsters from the Monster Hunter universe invading Earth.
Oh, really?
Which I, like, super don't want, unless it's, like, Godzilla.
Okay, sure,
we can make it cool like that. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be good. I think it might be entertaining.
It's that thing where this one, and then I feel like The Division are in the same kind of category of, like, your stories are general enough. It's not like it's an Uncharted movie. All right, it's got to have Nathan Drake. It's got to have a Sully Tyne.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
Division can be anyone.
Exactly. Division's like, all right,
plus
cool.
There's
been a horrible thing in New York.
Yeah, I actually loved some of those lead-in trailers for The Division when they're talking about like how the epidemic started and all that stuff.
The dollar flu, yeah.
Yeah, and then the idea that, you know, everyone is part of The Division and they're wearing like what? Like, I could get into that lore. I could see that happening.
And that's the thing where I was like, that could be good. I mean, it probably won't be, but
if
it could
like
be.
If it's like I Am Legend-ish,
then
I'd be cool with it.
All right.
No faith, though.
Alana.
Yes.
I'm excited to see what happens with this Monster Hunter movie. Will it be decent? But we won't know for so long. If I wanted something current, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
That's the first time we've done a yeah in forever, Kevin. You've been gone, I've been gone. Great job, and you killed it too,
Alana.
I'm enjoying the show with you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Out today, Armored Freedom on Xbox One, Assassin's Creed Odyssey on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, Super Mario Party Switch, and WWE 2K19 Digital Deluxe on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
When I started reading this morning, I thought that was Armored Core, and I was like, I missed an Armored Core announcement!
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's Armored Freedom, I don't know why.
Somebody wrote in when we announced earlier this week you were coming on the show, and was like, yeah, are you going to ask Alana about Armored Core stuff? And I was like, that was a weird question. And then it dawned on me, no, it was a reference to when you were on Gamescast, and you were the first person ever to have an Armored Core answer.
You all started yelling at me, and I didn't know why. Yeah, I was just like, I don't know what did I do.
You crushed it. You killed it. We're going to talk about Assassin's Creed in a second. Have you played Super Mario Party?
I have not. I'm planning to play it today.
Yeah.
My colleagues are all getting drunk today at 2 p.m. and doing a live drunk Super Mario Party stream. Shout out to youtube.com/funhouse.
But don't forget youtube.com/GameSpot. We'll be on 30 minutes later.
Yes, we will.
When they're already Lawrence is too drunk to play already. Kevin, you were here for the Super Mario Party party mode, right?
I was indeed.
So the party mode is up. They did really, really well. I watched them and thought they were really, really funny. What was your takeaway from Super Mario Party?
I cannot wait. Like, it's... I feel like...
You don't need to. It's out. It came out already.
No, I know, but like, to get it, like a big TV in the back and have that set up and try to get you guys to do it. Because if we do, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. It was hilarious watching Joey get screwed over. You know what I mean? Everybody just beating up on Joey. Yeah. It's weird she's not on more party modes.
He fucking got her.
Yeah, Nick was a...
I think I saw an outtake of that on Twitter, actually.
Yeah, she was not happy. She was not... That's
the point of Mario Party.
Exactly. People part one, she was like playing along, not happy. And then part two, she was like, I hate everybody. This is why I'm not usually on party mode.
Have you played it?
No, I was gone when they came by.
It seems like people are pretty mixed on it.
Yeah.
Because reviews came out and it seems like... someone said something along the lines of like they missed what people loved about Mario Party 1 and 2. 2 is my favorite Mario Party.
Okay.
And sort of tried to capture the best things of all of those games, but in doing so, just everything is kind of fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's middling, I guess.
Yeah, the main thing I saw people complaining about on Twitter and stuff was like the online's so barren or something in terms of like what you can and can't do.
Nintendo Online is barren?
Who would have thought?
What?
You know what I mean? I'm amazed. But yeah, like... I loved Mario Party 1 back in the day.
Yeah.
And so, like,
that's the thing is, I still have my Nintendo 64 and I still have Mario Party 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to hooking up an N64 and just playing that. Yeah. But if this is good and I don't know how you have to play it docked, how does it work when you're playing handheld?
If you play in handheld, you put it down and you can put a whole bunch of different things together,
everyone
make
would
a
need
bigger
to
board.
Oh, no, I guess they wouldn't need to see it. Oh, I have seen that. That looks pretty cool. Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see how it works. Hopefully, I get to play it today.
Joey!
Joey!
Can we get Shock Mike up for her if she's here? Sure. Oh, she's coming. Yeah, okay. Joey! You've been playing more Mario Party, right?
I did.
Get on that mic and talk about it. We won't bring up the party modes and all the things.
Oh, I've been listening.
Okay. Oh, sorry. My apologies. My apologies. What do you think with now you've had more time with Mario Party?
Yeah.
Super Mario
Party. We played the other night. We played one round of just like standard on the board. We played the river rafting mode thing, which I haven't played a Mario Party in a few iterations, so I don't know if this
that's
is like
fine
thing. Where it's like it's just like this river branching and you like hit these balloons and you try and finish and you play all the mini games. It was pretty fun. And then the mini game where it's like it looks like Hollywood Squares and you get a square every time you win a mini game. That was the one that we had the most fun in, so I wasn't even that mad that that's what was available online, because I do think that was the one where like we were all yelling at each other and mad and classic Mario Party versus like all of the other modes.
You can still steal stars and stuff? Ruin friendships?
We didn't steal any stars on the three things that we did. And it's weird because we haven't seen anybody get a star for like the most coins at the end and like kind of all of those weird like random bonuses.
I kind of like that stuff because it throws the game. Like you can do super well and still end up losing.
Yeah. The one that we saw the most often was like who got a star for traveling around the most spots on the board. But it didn't seem to have as much of the other random stuff as we were used to and we were expecting.
Another criticism I saw was that the map is uninteresting.
I've only played one of them. We played the same map that we played on Mario, the party mode.
Party mode.
So I've only played the like fruit.
Do you give it a thumbs up?
I mean, I had a lot of fun and we will continue to play it.
I feel like Joey and I fall, and correct me if I'm wrong, into the same Mario Party category of like, Mario Party is a thing that happens and I enjoy playing it, but like when I see like Michael Jones and the other Achievement Hunter people and they're like, we're playing, they play them all and they play them nonstop and they like, oh, we're going to compare them back to one and two. I'm like,
about that life.
I remember cutting a hole in my hand playing Mario Party 1 with
the winding up the shiny.
Yeah, and that's it. Like I
broke a lot of N64 controllers that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. If it's just Mario Party, it's Mario Party. I'll be fine.
I haven't played all of them, but I do miss 2 though. Like I love that so much that it's like more like that.
The only thing I really didn't like is that it's the 20 round maximum because we like to do the
I think
crazy.
You could do like 100 back in the day.
Yeah, it was like 50 and 100.
That
was
a big question I saw after our party mode went up where people were like, do you know if 50 and 100 is back? And I was like, no, I wasn't even here, man.
It's 20 maximum.
It's so good though because you could play for like 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. That was like the classic like sleepover.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be up all night and playing. And it's like, oh, we can't do that anymore.
To be fair though, I feel like I'm overthinking it. The idea that I would like spend time to be like, tell me your eloquent criticisms of Super Mario Party on the Nintendo Switch is like, fuck me, right? It doesn't matter. It's gonna be fun anyway.
Exactly. Thank you, Joester.
Thank you, Joey.
Sorry that party mode broke you. New dates for you. Steel Rats is releasing on November 7th on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. We have details on Shadow of the Tomb Raider DLC. This is from Nick Santangelo over at IGN. Square Enix has announced the first of 7 DLC packs for Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
That's a lot of DLC.
It is. Titled The Forge, the DLC will be released on November 13th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC as part of the Season Pass and sold separately for $4.99. In the DLC, players will explore the lava-covered titular forge to uncover secrets and learn more about a friend of Lara Croft's ancient legacy. That's what it says. The new challenge
sounds like Minecraft.
The new challenge tomb can be played in either solo or co-op mode, and completing it will reward the players with Grenader skill, Brocken outfit, and Umbridge.
It's Grenadier, which
also
just makes me think of Gears of War. I'm getting a lot of imagery from all of this.
380 weapon. Shadow of the Tomb Raider's other 6 pieces of DLC will release monthly in the subsequent months following November. Okay.
Cool.
Did you play Shadow?
I only played a little bit, and Square were like a little bit mad at me for the way that I was speaking about the game, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't see how it's different to the others. Yeah. I like it, but it's not different enough, ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah, I started it and I was like, this is the thing. I still haven't gone back because I similarly didn't get in trouble, but I tweeted out of like, hey, facial animation sucked. There's effects missing. And people were like, there's a day one patch. And I read through the reviewer guide. I'm like, fuck, there is. Delete the tweet. I was wrong. But even I played it a little bit, but not enough to comment on that stuff. But still, it was like, this doesn't look as good as Tomb Raider or Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I agree. And but so it's the like, stuff that I do really like about it is the difficulty setting. I just think is so cool.
Oh, sure.
Cool.
That's real cool. Yeah,
you can
like
change the difficulty of puzzles or combat or any of those things. And I think that that's awesome. Like, it's such a cool thing for that game to do. And I really like Lara's story, and it seems a lot more interesting to me, but it just didn't seem different enough. And I'm playing so much stuff that it was just like, I don't...
It's what I keep saying, right? It's like, there's no room for a game that's just good. We don't have that anymore. Everything is great. Yeah. There's so many great games every week that it's just, I don't have time. I'm lost in Assassin's Creed.
First world problems.
Stuff. Exactly. Kingdom Hearts, the story so far, was also announced today. It's coming to PlayStation 4 on October 30th. It bundles Kingdom Hearts HD 1.2 plus 2.5 Remix and Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue. So basically giving you everything of the story up until the new Kingdom Hearts is coming out. However, this has caused problems. DJ Brad Chill writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can. It says, what's good, guys? Look, man, I'm not proud, but I'm one of those Kingdom Hearts fans. Parentheses. I realize the story is batshit insane and incomprehensible, but come on, your fucking monsters up with Goofy and Donald Duck. And with the announcement of Kingdom Hearts, the story so far, I'm kind of disappointed. Ignore the fact that this has no reason to exist, but why the hell is it only releasing on PlayStation 4? There's an entire player base on Xbox One that may have never experienced a Kingdom Hearts games. Do you guys think that Square is setting Kingdom Hearts 3 up to underperform on the Xbox platform by not giving players who may be new to the franchise a chance to experience the past games, in the least, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2?
Thoughts? I don't understand why he said this has no reason to exist.
I think he meant it because it's just bundling up stuff that already exists.
But they're on such different platforms. Sure. Having them all on one, I think, is great.
And in one box. You know what I mean?
Yes. I think that that totally is a valuable thing. Second, agree that it sucks that it's only releasing on PlayStation 4.
What a weird choice.
Yes, it should also be on Xbox One. But third, don't think Square is intentionally setting up the third game to underperform on Xbox. I imagine it is a pre-existing deal.
You'd think so, right? And I don't. And I'm definitely speaking out my ass here, but I would wonder if there is a pre-existing deal either of like, hey, we're going multi-platform, but we still want to give PlayStation something. You know what I mean? Because we are a PlayStation fan base. Yeah. Or if one of the games on there has some kind of weird verbiage in a contract.
That was my guess, is that
right?
One of them is a PlayStation exclusive and it has to stay a PlayStation exclusive.
And kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to correct us on that. If every one of these has come to every platform already, because God only knows.
They definitely haven't.
Tim's not here to beat me over the head with a Kingdom Hearts brick and tell me what the hell's going on.
This is actually when I like got to this story, I was really glad you had a comment, because I don't know that much about Kingdom Hearts. It's like, I've played 1 and 2 and none of the others, so I would really like to be able to play all of them to try
at
to
at a preview event
thing,
I played Birth by Sleep once. That's my claim to fame.
I think I played
fame.
Dream Drop Distance once, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, and I think it might very well be too. Looking at, I mean, Kingdom Hearts traditionally a PlayStation franchise. Mm-hmm. I think if you're putting out games, you have to start forecasting what it's going to do. Like, what are you expecting a bundle of old games, and I'm not saying old game is old, but old game is old, to do on Xbox One when you are trying to blaze a new trail there? I know it seems like it makes logical sense of people aren't going to jump into 3 if they haven't played the others. I think a lot of people are going to jump into 3.
Yeah, and I suspect that they will have written 3, which I played both of the demos, but haven't gleaned a ton from the story based on those. But I imagine they will have written 3 so that you can play it even if you haven't played the others. I hope so. That doesn't seem in line with Kingdom Hearts.
I was going to say, as DJ says, it's batshit insane. So
that's
I don't
what
think
I'm
anybody
going
really
for.
Cares. Does it look pretty? Does it look like a Pixar movie?
If you like want to get a new like kid into the game on an Xbox or whatever, you're going to try and make that story at least slightly sit by itself.
Yeah.
I think.
I'd like to think so too. We'll see.
Because I like 1 and 2. I'm going to play 3.
Yeah.
I don't want to play the rest of them.
You don't want to jump in and see what the hell's going
Please
on?
Please don't send me too many hate tweets.
I got 2 deals of the day for you. The first, this is from the PlayStation blog. PlayStation Now has added 10 more games. I looked None of them are that newsworthy, so I'm not going to list them, but they put this in there. As of this week, we have also reset the 7-day trial, so anyone not subscribed to the service as of October 2nd can try out downloads for most PlayStation 4 games in the service, as well as streaming for all 650-plus games in the PlayStation Now library. Even if you previously had a paid subscription or used a 7-day trial of PS Now, you can now access the 7-day trial again to see how easy the new download feature works. The 7-day free trial, credit card required, auto-renews at $20 per month at the end of the trial period, unless you cancel or subscribe to a different subscription plan. We've gone back and forth here about how awesome Xbox Game Pass is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before, when the rumors of the download were happening, it's like, is PlayStation ever going to get serious about PS Now and make it something people really have to try and really have to get into? It's interesting to see them getting a bit more aggressive in terms of, if you've done it before, great, here's another trial. Get in there and see what it's like now. Because I think streaming, downloading, cool.
Downloading is cool.
Nathan Steele wrote in with the deal of the day. He says, what's up, Greg and Alana? Burger King's in the UK are giving away 7-day Game Pass codes, up to 4 per account, with the purchase of a $4.99 King Box. Wow. And yes, it still works for existing Game Pass users, if there are any Xbox and Burger King fans in the UK that weren't aware of this promotion.
That's great.
Also, Alana, you've been killing it so far on Funhouse. Hey. Hope you guys and girl, I hope the guys and girl have been treating you well.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that.
So there you go, Burger King fans or just Xbox game fans.
It's Hungry Jack's in Australia.
Oh.
I don't know why they're
Wait, is Burger King hungry?
It's called Hungry Jack's in Australia.
Is that something about like monarchies and shit? Like you guys won't respect a king? Is that the deal?
Definitely not that.
Okay.
No, I think it's, I don't know, you someone already hungry owned people. Burger King or something. I don't really know. But it's Hungry Jack's.
Okay. When's the last time you were home?
I was home in May for my sister's wedding.
Okay.
I don't know when I'm going home next. Mm. It sucks.
That sucks. Reader mail! But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Third Love and Loot Crate. Third Love has an offer for all the kind of honeys out there. It's the perfect bra. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so they fit impeccably and feel even better. Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. Skip the trip, find your perfect fit in 60 seconds online, order them, and try them at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Gia loves her strapless one, her friend's boyfriend loves the black lacy one, and Jen, my wife, didn't love hers. She bought one too big, but Third Love's free and easy returns make it simple to get the right one. Did you know breast shape matters when finding a good fit? Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape, and find styles that fit your body. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find the perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today.
I will say I've done their online tests and I was very impressed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
They advertise on Facebook, I think, and I've just seen it a bunch. It's very impressive.
Yeah. Good. Oh, look at that. A ringing endorsement. Thank you. I love the fact that we have that ad. I always talk, I haven't said it on this one around, but I love the fact that Kind of Funny is so diverse that Third Love is like, yeah, we want that.
That's great.
Loot Crate is the other one. Loot Crate. Who loves Loot Crate, Kevin? Everyone, a monthly subscription box delivered to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Lots of my DC Comics pops you see in my backgrounds and in my photos are from Loot Crate. And don't get me started on all the Rick and Morty stuff Kevin has from them. This month's theme, Welcome to the Nightmare. Fight back against malevolent forces with gear from Soul Calibur 2, Silent Hill, Psychonauts, and Cuphead.
Oh,
that's
very
right.
Good games.
It's a loot gaming crate. Yeah, they are good games. You can get all that stuff and the Loot Crate. Pack $60 or more of value into a crate for less than $29 a month. You can't lose. Loot Crate also offers 16 other awesome crates from other pop culture classics. This crate will sell out. You must order this week to guarantee yours as it is going to sell out. I'm saying sell out again. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, Geek Out, in style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games, enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off subscription.
Your code is GAMES?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we do it around here.
You got
here.
That loot gaming crate and you got the code GAMES?
Yeah.
Damn, dog.
Yeah, I know. You're preaching the choir over here, Pierce. I know. Darth Blarg writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's up, Greg and Alana? My question is about XO18. As an Xbox fanboy, I got hella hyped when I heard the news about this event later this year. One, what do you want to see at the event? Specific games, announcements, etc. Number two, what do you think will happen at the event? You should each make like three specific predictions and compare after the event, like Kind of Funny does for E3. Alana, I miss you on Unlocked.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, and keep being amazing. I don't know if we're going to go three deep, but what do you want to see at the event?
Fable.
Fable.
Perfect Dark.
Ho!
Splinter Cell.
Shit. Oh my god.
The big three.
You just cleared everything I was going to say. I want to see Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
I want to see Splinter Cell real bad.
I don't know if they would make it an exclusive anymore, but I think if they were to debut it, it would still be there.
You know what I mean? Because that is such a Xbox-identified franchise. Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
What I think we will see is details of the next Xbox. Scarlet? Is that what it's being called right now?
Yeah, Scarlet.
I legitimately think that they will... No, I mean the next console.
Well, yeah, they call it... Yeah, you're right. Yes. Scarlet was the thing where they were like, Xbox Scarlet is the streaming thing, it's going to be a platform, but it'll also be a special box. It'll be cheaper or whatever.
No, yes. I think that they will actually like talk about it in the same way that they originally revealed the Xbox One X with that presentation of devs talking about it. I think they're going to actually talk about it this year and reveal it next year.
That's a bold move.
It's a bold move, Cotton.
Yeah. Let's see if it pays off. That'd be awesome. Man, you got me too excited with Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell.
At E3. This year on the predictions, I
thought Splinter Cell was a for sure thing.
Me too. And what I pitched when they were like, what would you do? And I was like, do a Batman Beyond.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, Sam Fisher, he's too old now, but he's coaching this new person through it, right? And he's in their ear and shit.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Someone from Ubisoft told me it was going to be there, and I don't know now if they were just fucking with me.
I hate that. I hate that
it's
so
like,
much.
Was it planned, or were they just lying to, like, throw me?
Yeah.
Splinter Cell.
I hate it. That's the worst.
The thing is, Ubisoft games have changed a lot, and pretty much most Ubisoft games now are as services. That's the way that they're approaching things now. How does Splinter Cell exist in Ubisoft's current landscape when Splinter Cell is technically niche? It's stealth. It's not necessarily that approachable. Like, do they make it slightly more open world? Do they take a more Metal Gear approach where you can approach things however you want to and you want Super Punisher? I mean, you could always do that, but it was harder. Like, I'm just wondering how that game functions now.
What sucks is that I think if they were, hey, let's bring a Splinter Cell back, and they had that conversation right now, I think what they would hang their hat on is going the opposite of it, right? And being like, hey, Sony proved there is a place for single player games. Mm. We don't need to just be open world. This is our Splinter Cell. This is how we're doing it. However, for it to be announced anytime soon, it would have been started and worked on very much during the fuck, keep Vivendi off our backs. Yeah. Everything needs to be open world.
Which is like the same as Beyond Good and Evil 2. It's like they took a very well loved single player franchise and made it something bigger. And I still have hopes that that game is going to be really good as a single player experience, but it's not that. It's a service. And it's like, I don't know how Splinter Cell functions without being that way.
Yeah.
South Park's kind of the only one. What else does Ubisoft have that is not like that?
Recently. I mean, all their big stuff, right? And they haven't done anything at UB Arts in a while.
I miss UB Arts.
Me too, man. Where's Valiant Hearts? Give me another.
Valiant Hearts was great.
Yeah, right.
I also really liked Child of Light, though. They were both really
good. Yeah, people love Child of Light. It didn't click for me, but
didn't it come to Switch recently? I think that it did.
It's on everything now, yeah. It's definitely on Switch. I wasn't sure, but just recently. Pick it up, everybody. That's Alana Pierce saying it's good.
Buy it, and then Ubisoft will make Splinter Cell a single-player game.
Speaking of good games, Greg Way, APW5029, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, wanted to let you gals and guys know that I'm worried you may be sleeping on one of the best games of the year. Did I completely miss it, or have you not talked at all about Guacamelee 2? I just beat it today, and I'm happy to say that it is even better than its incredible predecessor. Anyone on the crew play it yet? What are your thoughts?
I feel like the marketing of this is odd in that I feel like Guacamelee 2 came out a while ago.
And it didn't.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty recent, yeah.
When did it come out?
The last... Kevin, can I get a Google on the Guacamelee 2 release date?
I'll search for it.
It came out like 5 months ago.
No, it has not been that long.
I don't know.
Because I had it... I still have it on my PlayStation 4 Cross Media Bar. August 21st. August. I have it on my Cross Media Bar, but it's just... back a ways because it's again
I have no doubt that it's good. I really like the first one.
Drinkbox is so talented.
But I wonder if maybe they just didn't have enough hype on the actual release date or something that I just like kind of missed it and felt like it had been out forever.
I think the biggest problem for me personally, and this is a Greg problem, is that for me it was a Vita game. Guacamelee 1 was
same.
A Vita
game. I actually
game,
played it on Vita as well.
And so I think that was my thing of like, all right, cool, it's on my PlayStation 4, but it's also like, well, here are these, like I always talk about, these other giant franchises I want to play on my PlayStation 4.
But with Guacamelee 2, I think the way that I would probably play it if I would play it on console would be co-op.
Oh, really?
Because I think you can now.
Yeah.
And I think that would be like such a cool way to play that, as like a game that you can play with someone who doesn't necessarily play games or whatever. Like, that's a game that I would like play with my mom.
Yeah.
Like, or my sister or whatever. Like, the people in my family who are game adjacent but don't play tons of them, that seems like a perfect way to play it. Mm. Which kind of means to me that it's not necessarily the thing I needed to play August 21st, 2018, that I can like play. I'll get around to it.
Yeah.
I will.
Eventually I'm going to play it too.
It has to be the right setting.
Yeah. I'm sure if we wait long enough, it'll end up on everything.
If it was Switch, I probably would have finished
it by now. Right? That's the thing. If it was just on the Switch, like,
yeah.
But I hate being that guy. When's it coming to Switch? When's it coming to Switch? But for real, when's it coming to Switch?
But really, though.
Steve from Canada. Oi, governor. Writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Alana. Long time slash first time. I was looking forward to starting Assassin's Creed Odyssey when I got home from work tonight, but I know I'll have to wait for a lengthy installation process, including a day one patch. Do you think we'll ever see a time when Sony or Microsoft allow players to pre-install games on their system even before the game has been purchased? I know that both companies offer pre-loading for games bought digitally, but gamers that buy physical copies are usually out of luck. It's an interesting thing, and no, I don't think you'll ever see it. I don't think they're ever going to give you the ability to be like, yes, I'm going to buy this disc, install the data, and it'll be... It kind of would work, right? If you could click it, and it would install everything, preload, and then you still have to click and either put in the disc or put in 60 bucks.
In theory, it would work.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening. I imagine there is some kind of legal issue there.
Yeah.
Or that, like, it would be easier to jailbreak. I don't see it happening.
The jailbreaking is where it gets interesting. Of like that, there is somebody would figure out a way to get in there and turn it on or turn. You know, I don't know. I'm not a hacker. If I didn't give it away by the fact that I still can't do a lot of things on my iPhone, not a hacker. But I feel like that would be the problem because they. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this week actually of how they preloaded Shadow of the Colossus on a lot of PlayStations as a test, where like you turned on your PlayStation if it was automatic, you know, uploads, downloads, and all that shit, and it would just be there. And if you clicked on it, it'd be like, oh, do you want to buy it? It's already installed. You can buy it right now. But again, that would just be the full digital game rather than this, hey, we're putting it in there, but if you want to buy the disc, you can put the disc in. Well, not to mention Sony and Microsoft want to encourage you to buy digitally.
For sure. You know how if you get a code, like it would have happened for you with Assassin's Creed, you got the code and then you had to put in an unlock code as well to be able to actually play the game. So you were pre-ordering it and then unlocking it. You could, in theory, do that with a disc. You could put a disc in, you could install the thing, and then on launch day you get an unlock code or something. But then that still requires something digitally, like you'd have to get an email or something for that code. It wouldn't just auto unlock. Like that wouldn't work.
And think about how complicated the store would become if it was. You signed on and Assassin's Creed's on there, and it's like, do you want to pre-order digitally or do you want to pre-order, like put your chips down that you're going to do it and we'll download everything now kind of thing?
It just seems very complicated.
It does, and that's why it won't happen.
I also see a future where, and I know that this sucks coming from Australia, where it would take me 3 days to download a game, like it sucked, where everything is just digital. Like that's coming soon, and I feel like you're right that publishers want you to buy everything digitally because you're buying it almost exclusively from them.
Yeah.
Or especially if it's any of the actual platforms, including iPhone, they make like 30% on every sale. Like those, all of them want you to buy it digitally, but it sucks for everyone who doesn't have a good internet connection. And reality is there is still a lot of people who feel that way.
Middle of the country definitely feels that way. So hopefully that catches up to you. But I think with all due respect, hold on. Steve from Canada, as you guys continue to be the dinosaurs and you just want to go and get your box copy and get it from and put it on your shelf and all that, and me and Alana are fucking in $30.99 over here, those wraparound sunglasses, just downloading everything.
Wild. EMP comes, you guys lose everything.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that? No, EMP? The EMP, when the EMP comes, Kevin, my digital library will be the least of my concerns. Video games will immediately fall off as I try to fucking find canned food. Let's stick with this Assassin's Creed Odyssey business. Matthew Marcy writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with all the Assassin's Creed Odyssey talk around, I saw a post on Polygon from Chris Plant that talks about... It's Plant, right? Chris
I believe
Plant?
So.
Yeah. Sorry, that talks. It's a name I've seen for years, and I think I've met him, and I just don't...
I've never heard him say his own last name.
Exactly. That talks about the $10 permanent XP boost they're offering as a time saver and how much better he believes it makes the game. Have you guys tried this feature? Was it useful? And maybe more importantly, what does this say about the price of games that the fact that they haven't gone up in a very long time? I'm of the opinion that if this was really the way Ubisoft intended this game to be played, they should have felt like they could have charged $69.99 as the base price for the game. Many game pundits have talked about exploring the scale of pricing in recent years, but very few developers and publishers have actually done it. I'm curious to hear your opinions. Thanks for all you do. Matthew Marcy.
This is a super interesting question. Ubisoft put that in there to make more money is the answer. It's not that the game's too expensive to make. The video games are still super profitable. It's just that they want more money, which I get, and that some people will want that. And I had this when I was reviewing Assassin's Creed Origins, and it was at a review event, so we only had 5 days. And that game is super long. It's like, I think it ended up being like 60 hours. And we had the option to use one of those. We weren't paying for it, but it was built in, so you could basically make sure that you finish the story in that amount of time. And I did use it, and I had this real issue with how I was going to review the game with that being part of it, and then I was like, well, are most people going to play it this way? Did the fact that I wanted to use that mean that I didn't like the game and felt that it was too grindy, or was it just the surrounding environment that I was in that forced me to do that. Like, it's really hard to figure out. And I think it's a cool option for people who don't like the grind. I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey and I do like it, is the thing. Like, I'm cool with spending a bunch of time on side quests because they're very well fleshed out. So I'm willing to, like, forgive them for that, basically, because it's there if you don't want to do garbage and you just want to get through the story. I like the garbage. I feel like, Ubisoft has actually gotten, like, very good at making side quests interesting, different characters. They're often multifaceted. Some of them have, like, plot twists in them, whereas it used to just be like, go here, do this. So
right, of course.
I'm okay with it, but it's totally not an issue of the price of the game. It's just an additional thing for them to make money.
Yeah, I saw Chris's article today, and I had not seen this in Odyssey.
I haven't seen it either.
Exactly. So I had been playing Odyssey normal, vanilla, not like this.
I think you have to tab over to get to the shop, and I've just never done it.
I've gone to the store to look at, like, they have this one set of gear that looks just like Kratos's, and I'm like,
that's cool.
Fuck, I want to get
that. Is that where the unicorn is?
Yeah, that's where the unicorn is. Yeah. They have the Pegasus armor and all that shit. I'm like, this shit actually looks good. And it's like, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend money on it. You know what I mean? However, I read the article, saw this, and Chris is like, it's the best way to play. He's like, there was a line in there about how, yes, I understand this makes it seem like the game doesn't value your time. I haven't felt that way. I do feel XP's slower than I would think it would be, right? Like, I just feel like I'm level 18 now or whatever, and it's like, man, I feel like I should. I did a major story quest yesterday and popped the trophy, and I was like, here we go. And it was like, bink. And I was like, oh, all right, well, that didn't even level me up, but cool, whatever. Like, I'm not in there being like, oh, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, but some people probably are, which is why I think it's a cool option for those people. But I agree. The one thing that I get annoyed with is crafting, is like finding, like, you need this many wolf pelts. And I'm like, I can't find any goddamn wolves. Like, that annoys me. And you can buy those. And I thought about
it. With real money?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, that was my thing. Is like, this weekend, the idea is of like, I'm finally home. I have tons of work for the showcase. I'm doing that later. But like, I blocked out time on Saturday to answer all my showcase emails. So the rest of it is going to be PJs and pizza and playing Assassin's Creed. And I think I'm going to buy it. Because, again, not that I don't like, this isn't going to stop me from doing everything. I just want to get more for what I'm doing. Especially if I'm putting into, because I would fucking love to beat this game before Red Dead gets here. And just beat the story and then fuck around. But man, that's a marathon.
That's right. I
have a lot of time. You know what I mean? That's a lot of game in front of me.
I didn't even think about it. And now I'm filled with a sense of dread.
Well, it's because I love Assassin's Creed.
No, but I hadn't thought about that. And now I'm like, fuck.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wake you up to this fact.
Like, all these games, I haven't finished Spider-Man yet.
Oh my God.
There's so many games I have to finish before Red Dead.
I know. You have to shut it down. Oh, I didn't want to do it though, just to get more from it and get more cool powers and just have fun. Don't cry. Don't have a breakdown. We're having a mental breakdown. Let's go to Ludwig from Vienna. He writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Says questions for Miss Pierce. Number one, how is your voiceover work going?
It's great. Yeah. I was messaging you about it. I was very nervous. I can't say any of the games that I've been in yet. I've done three.
Oh my gosh.
It rules. I really like it. Yeah. It's a lot hotter than you would think people will make you, like, you read a line and I'll be like, what's the context of this line? Like, am I angry? Am I sad? Am I sarcastic? But then the next line that you read is very different. And I'm like, what is the continuity of this conversation? Yeah, I know, right? Because you have to get through it. So it's like, it's difficult. You have to ask a lot of questions. But I really enjoy doing it. I find it super, super fun. And I can't wait to announce the things. And I just can't, because it's not my announcement. It's the studio's announcement to make. So it's up to them when they announce it. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Number two, what's your Funhouse member rankings?
Benson.
That's it. Everybody else.
Benson. Benson. And then Jacob. And then Benson. No, they're all great. Number Lawrence and I are basically the same person. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We're super similar.
Okay.
It's alarming.
Number three, do you already have a code for Red Dead Redemption 2?
No.
Yeah, I know.
God, no.
You think she'd be here if she did? You think I'd be here? I'd be sick.
I got GTA 5 4 days early when that game came out, and I lost my damn mind, and I posted a photo of it, and no one believed me. People were like, bullshit you did. And I was like, I can't even have this.
No, this is real. This is real.
Yeah, no, I really don't.
Alana, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Kenny needs help on Xbox One. His Xbox username is, and I'm going to spell it out for you, IV space Thor VI. So 4 Thor 5. But no, that's the no.
IV space THOR space VI.
Yeah, I mean, Roman numerals are fucked up.
Thor 6.
Thor 6.
Yeah, that's right. 4 Thor 6.
4 Thor 6.
I need your help on Destiny 2. Yes, sorry, it's for Destiny 2, but I started the Forsaken DLC and I'm loving it.
Forsaken.
Sadly. Is it?
Yes.
Are you big into Destiny still?
Big. I'm playing it.
You play it. Okay. Yeah. Sadly, my clan disbanded after year one and none of my current online friends like the game. So I'm looking for a new clan and hopefully new friends to have fun with and hunt. for that sweet, precious loot. Thanks for your time and consideration. Have a nice day. Ivy, space Thor, space Ivy. Or VI, damn it. It's in the fucking description. Alana, we asked people watching live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
Excellent.
I'm going to check it in now. Hold on, close this, do this, reopen this. I'm doing it. Do it. Coward.
It is really nice that you just have this on this script, just big old bold underlined, says you're wrong.
That's how it's all
about. It's like just positive reinforcement for yourself while you're up here.
Oh, Zyger writes in to You're Wrong and says, Alana said that Jared would forgive anything. That is wrong. Ask Jared about his opinions on Destiny. He will never forgive Bungie.
No, he also doesn't like also, Banjo that much. But everything else.
Mm-hmm. People are, you know, doing their opinions in here. I get them.
People just keep doing their opinions and shit.
Kebab says, regarding the Kingdom Hearts collection, the story so far is basically a combined package of all the previous PS4 ports. Those ports never came to Xbox, so the story so far is basically a repackaging.
Oh. But does that mean that it has the ones that were only on DS or whatever? Yes, because those came to PlayStation, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, I still could be wrong.
Kingdom Hearts, the story so far includes 1.5 plus 2.5 HD Remix. Greg said 1.2 instead of 1.5.
I knew it.
My apologies, Lord of Home. Kebab says, also, in an interview with IGN in June, the series director for Kingdom Hearts said, regarding the PS4 ports, we obviously would need to discuss with Microsoft if we are able to do this or not, but we haven't even started the conversations yet, so nothing at this moment. Okay.
They would need to discuss it with Microsoft?
Yeah, if they wanted to bring these ports, the PlayStation 4 ports, over to Xbox, I guess. Okay. There's a lot of Kingdom Hearts shit in here.
I don't know what you expected. You spoke about Kingdom Hearts on the internet.
I know.
What did you think was going to happen?
All right, here we go. Kebabs with the most important stuff. From the Hungry Jack Wikipedia page. When Burger King moved to expand its operation into Australia, it found that its business name was already trademarked by a takeaway food shop in Adelaide. Yeah. As a result, Burger King selected the Hungry Jack brand from a list of other pre-existing trademarks. Cool.
That's what I thought.
You nailed it. Oh my god, so much Kingdom Hearts shit. Mike says, when you guys were talking about...
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I'm not going to do that. No. Mike's trying to do some stuff in there, I don't like it. And then, and Zaire says, No Man's Sky has added motorcycles.
What?
We missed that, so there you go.
Oh, that sounds dope!
Yo, I've played over 60 now hours of the next update.
Yep.
No Man's Sky, it fucking rules.
Yep,
I don't know though, motorbikes. It's real good.
Real good.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with questions, comments, concerns, everything else. Of course, you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listen on podcast services around the globe. Next week's host rundown goes like this. Monday, it's me and Josh from Constantly Calibrating. Tuesday, it's me and Justin from Constantly Calibrating. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's me and Jared. Friday, it is me and making her Kinda Funny Games debut. No, Games Daily. You know, I guess Kinda Funny debut, right, in general. Lucy from GameSpot. So there you go.
What's whole your bunch rules? Of
people. Yeah. I want to thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
We're going to go to GameSpot right now.
Yeah, right now. Super hard.
As soon as I'm going to go pee and change shirts, and we're going to go and grab my PlayStation. Of course, watch that at youtube.com/GameSpot. You can catch it there. What do you want to promote? Where should people go to find you and do more stuff?
I'm really bad at that.
You have a YouTube channel that's doing very well.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of embarrassing because it's gaining on Kinda Funny incredibly quickly, and I don't like that one.
Sucks. Well, let's do it. What? How many subs do you have?
Don't
Games
talk about
is 240.
It's going to take me a really long time to get there.
Doesn't matter, no looks, a million. We got a diamond button in the other room.
YouTube channel is youtube.com/Charalanazad, which is my name in the middle of Charizard. I do lots of different stuff there, which is why I'm not great at promoting it.
Sure.
It's kind of a grab bag of basically what people ask me about the most on the internet. I make a video about it. But yeah, I also work at youtube.com/funhouse. I have the first video that I produce because they're so ahead of schedule. It's like literally months ahead. So my first self-produced video is a Crash Bandicoot tournament where I made everyone play Crash because I hate people and want them to suffer.
But it's very funny. Is it the PS1 version?
Yeah. I mean,
so they're running at the camera and it's all janky.
It's terrible.
Gotcha. Perfect.
Yeah.
Way to torture them.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.